Before I begin having this last 45, 50 minutes with us, how about if we, all of us, who it's still such an honor to serve and to be a part of a church growing process and moving the kingdom of God forward, to me it's still an honor for the very first position I ever had, which was greeting at the front door of the church that we had the first charismatic Pentecostal church. So I'm still serving, just in a different way now, but it was such an honor. So I would like us to let the pastors, if you don't mind, just for a moment, restanding, and just with an ovation for their service, their hard work, and just how much we appreciate their investment and the willingness of them to make these moves, to be willing to move us forward, not just be complacent and happy with where we are, but wanting to see the will of God and the kingdom of God. Can we do that for the guys and the gals, please? Thank you for that. Appreciate it. I want to take us through a time period, of course, in our scripture. I don't mind eating, burping, or any other such noises. They don't bother me much at all. So we're good. And you don't mind me leaning up on your face a little. I'm going to move through these aisles in a little while. So it's all good. A time period of our Bible of restoration. There are five books of our restoration. Ezra, in this order, Haggai, the prophet, Zechariah, the prophet, who is put into the Ezra book, and Nehemiah, and of course, the only Italian prophet in the Bible, Malachi. Three of them I want to look at. I'm going to quote some of the scriptures. I'm just going to speak out of them just for time's sake. But I want to encourage us from that moment of time in a prophetic way, in this moment of time that you and I are in. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for the Linda and I both, how honored and humbled we are to be a part of this church. We're at 10 years now with them. We feel like we've been, in the small part that we have had, it's been such a glorious honor for her and I to be a part of this church. And what a moment of time when we're advancing into another dimension of the ultimate intention of our God for Cornerstone, for the families of this church, and for this community. Only you could plan such a thing. Father, I thank you for that. This morning, this afternoon, as we're together now, just strengthen our hearts. I really I'm asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be in every individual, that we might grab hold of this moment and relate to a day and a time as if it is a present truth. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Just quick background, very quick, out of Ezra's book. The date is 536 B.C., Incredible, the Persians have now 2 years ruling the earth, and King Cyrus stands up and he declares to his now provinces that he wants to build the house in Jerusalem. Are there any people from that land, Jews, that are willing to go back? I mean, for those, they've been in captivity now 70 years, almost 74 years now, and they can't believe what they're hearing. So Joshua and Zerubbabel stand up with 49,697 exactly people, head out to rebuild the city of God. You have to know that they had never seen it. There were some older men who remember the first temple. They were little boys. Probably Haggai will be one of them. They were just kids when they were taken away captive, and Nebuchadnezzar brought down that temple into a rubble heap. He took down every one of the walls, all 12 gates. He burned them to the ground. The towers he brought down. They can only remember that what it once looked like, and it was once a glorious thing. It was the city of the living God. It was to be the representation of the living God. The promise remains from Abraham that every family in the earth, that's why he's got this heartbeat for everybody around here. It's in us. Every family in the earth will be blessed. Not two or three, not one nation, not one city. Every family, that's always been his intention. So they're going back to build something they've never seen before. They're going back to be something they've never been before. Joshua is a high priest from a priestly lineage, but he's never done it. He's never worn a garment. Boy, it's so much like where we are right now, because God not is simply restoring something from last generation or two generations back. Oh, no, no. He's restoring that which has been in his heart from the very beginning of time. And it is in every one of us without us realizing it. There's something in us that not that we're discontented, but we're certainly unsatisfied. We know something's got to be greater than this. We know he wants to do something more than this. Despite what the world says, despite some of the winds that are blowing, there's something in all of us. It's almost undeniable. For some of us, there's frustration. For some of us, we're wondering if we'll ever see it. For some of us, we wonder if we just dreamed it. Oh, no, you didn't dream it. He gave it to us at our new birth. It came with the seed of God. So they went. They walked in. They didn't care what it looked like. They got there. This 7 months in, they built an altar and they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. Then they began the following year, they laid the tabernacle floor. Zerubbabel, the governor, was building it, and Joshua was looking at it. The latter part of Ezra chapter 4 says that the old men cried as they wept, seeing it. It wasn't a division. They remembered the older days. And the young men who hadn't seen anything shouted. It's amazing to me. The building will cease for 16 years. I want you to know the four reasons why it ceased. I want us to mark them. One was they got pressure from the outside. You see, what happened was, and you can see it in the third chapter of Ezra, the first four chapters will show these things to us. What happened was that when the mixed blood Samaritans, those that were transplanted by the Assyrians, when they saw that they were restoring them, they immediately applied pressure. Here's what they did. They weakened their hands. I love the description. What it is, though, is they so pressured them, they lost the passion to build. Boy, if I want to do anything with us this afternoon, and what we're doing with this group was that the passion to move forward, the desire to see God ultimately fulfill his will in every one of our lives, that no matter what pressure we have from the outside, we will not lose it. It weakened their hands. It troubled them. It frustrated their purpose. And so it always leads to the second thing. When that outside pressure begins to come, the second thing that happened was they began to look at the building. I remember these days. I've had them. But when I first came into the kingdom, as you, I'm sure, I had this passion to do anything. Anybody in the nursery? Anyone want to teach? Anybody want to sweep the stairs? Anybody want to paint? Yeah, then a few years, like, anybody want to do Yeah, because see, what happens is when the passion starts to diminish, the work seems a lot greater than it ever did. So they began to look at the burnt stones and the ashes and the gates and there's nothing there. And plus the enemy, there's just the winds. They started watching CNN a little more, and even Fox News was being negative. They were just kind of like, man, it's hopeless. This is just too much. And so it led to the third thing. The money really wasn't there. Even when they came, there was a small famine, but they didn't care when they first got there. But what happened was they began to measure things. They got their eyes off of his heart and his passion and his desire. They began to look here and here, and they just thought, you know what, there's not enough oil, there's not enough wheat, there's not enough barley, there's not enough wine. We don't have the resources. And that always, always leads to the last one. Four of them made them stop. It always leads to the last one, and that is they got more concerned about their personal lives. They got consumed with their own homes. 16 years it'll lay like this. It's not a condemnation to them or to us or to anybody. It's the reality of what happens. So I can imagine, I love Zerubbabel Bull and I feel for him. I can imagine how many times he must have come out and looked at that floor, that tabernacle. It's Zerubbabel's temple is what it's going to be called. It was really nothing, but he looked at it, and I wonder how many times did he come, a day, a week, a month. There are some of us here that are frustrated because of the way things are. There's some people who have left the church and no longer want to be a part of the church because they're frustrated about what they anticipated, what they expected, and it hasn't happened. Well, after the 16 years, the prophet Haggai shows up. I want you to hear what these two prophets say. I'm just going to pull some things out of the prophet Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, because one thing is certain. The Lord will never leave us in that place of dormant and lost expectation and lost hope. He will always come to cause us to expect and hope again in that which he has already declared. So the prophet Haggai comes on the scene. He's probably 80 years old. 4 months he's going to speak. But I just want to say some things to us this afternoon, just so we hold on to them. In these moments of time, we're not so much restoring this temple. We're not so much rebuilding something. But what we're doing is we're moving forward. We're pushing on beyond where we've ever been before. We're on where Cornerstone has ever been before. We're taking a step forward. We're looking to move and change things. We're looking to face everything that we're looking at, everything that we want to do. We're looking at it in a positive note. These four things will always somewhere be haunting us in our individual lives and sometimes as a family, sometimes as a church. So the prophet Haggai immediately comes on and he says it this way, King James, consider your ways. A lot of people look at that and be, oh, it's negative. Oh, it's not. He's saying to them, look at what you're doing. Just stop for a moment. And everybody that saw him just stopped. And here's what he says. Go to the mountain. Bring wood. Build the house. Despite the pressure from the outside, despite how difficult the work looked, despite the difficult in finances, despite that your own homes have been what you've been consumed in, stop all of it. Look away from all of it. Go to the mountain. I want you to know the mountain always speaks of time in the presence of the Lord. I can't go over the 7 trees that are in the mountains, but I will tell you this. The first time I ever came here to preach, I preached out of Haggai chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Go to the mountain. How about that for a little return around circle? He said, you gather wood. There's things, and I don't have time to do it now. There's things that you and I get from the presence of the Lord. Strength, hope, vision, dream, and the energy of God. We sang a song where Brittany did it with the youth. It says, make me brave. Man, I just listened to that, watched those kids sing that. And I, for a moment before I got up to speak, I said, you know what? Make me brave. The King James Bible, or if you want to do more biblical, it would be the word to Joshua. Give us the courage to do everything you want us to do. So please let you and I begin, especially this group, let us begin to take time to be with him. That's one of his cries. It's always been that way, that we want to be a people of his presence. We want the presence of the Lord with Jesus Christ being preeminent. The first thing he says, so they're all looking at each other. Go to the mountain. We never thought about it. We just got consumed with the pressures. We got consumed with everything else. And so they immediately begin going to the mountain. They brought literal wood, but you and I in the presence of the Lord will have everything we need to build. Everything is found there. Then he begins, he turns to all of them. I'm just taking some verses out of the third chapter, the second chapter. He looks at, turns to all of them, and he says this. He said, listen, I want you to know something. Zerubbabel's looking at him, Joshua's looking at him, and all the people, 47,969 people. He says to them, listen, the silver and the gold, it doesn't belong to Wall Street. It's mine. Please, I want us to hear the things I'm saying to us to encourage us, though, because I'm holding on to them just as well, that as leaders and for us to have the faith of God to do the work of God, the dream of God, and the thing that he's always desired for us individually, us as families, and us as this church, was there found in his presence with him. But I've got to know this, that it our our resources are not limited to the resources of this world or what they declare. There are no limitations. I'm going to say it some tomorrow morning, and I want to make us as a whole church realize we are living in a day, no limitations. The prophet Zechariah comes 2 months later. You okay? You all right? I'm almost done. I got a couple more things out of Zechariah's prophecy, then we're just going to do something else. Comes out of the prophet Zechariah 2 months after the prophet Haggai speaks about things being shaken. Don't be afraid of that man. He's bringing the desire of the nations to himself. He's bringing the desire of the nations back to the kingdom of God, back to his church, back to his body, back to his people. He will do it. But I've got to know in the midst of it, no matter what he asks, no matter how difficult, no matter what Wall Street says, no matter what the government says, the silver and the gold belongs to him. If he has to send ravens over this church, he'll do it. Oh, he will. Are you filming me? Okay, got that camera there. I can see it. She's sneaking in a couple. Because I prophesied to her, so she's getting me back. It's all good. It's all good. So he has this vision. He has 8 visions in one night. And the fifth one is so key. The fourth one will be the Joshua the high priest, which is beautiful. But I want to talk about this building project, this moving forward, this as we begin to expand and allow the Lord to stretch us a little bit. So he has this dream, and he sees this golden candlestick and these 2 olive trees and this golden oil pouring into it. And the angel says to him, "What is that? Do you know what that is?" Zechariah goes, "I have no idea what that is." He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." It's a vision of this golden oil, the candlestick. He knows because he's Hebrew, though he never saw it before. It was taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. It always speaks of this no limitations, this multiple dimension. That's how the candlestick was built. It had no dimensions because it was supposed to speak to the Hebrew that God was without dimensions, without limitations. There was nothing that he couldn't do. And so this is pouring in, and it's a vision, but it's a word. And the angel says to him, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." And so Zerubbabel, who's been waiting 16 years to see the thing that was in his heart, the thing the thing that we've been waiting for, desiring to see, hoping to see, though it seems to be delaying, it just seems to not come. And he says, "This is the word to him. Thus saith the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Even here, it wasn't going to be by their full strength or by their name or by their greatness, but it was going to be something the Spirit of God was going to do. I got to go back to the book of Ezra. They were, all of a sudden, their hearts are being stirred. Man, this has stirred my heart this morning, and it doesn't need much stirring. But I certainly want to stir our hearts up after I go, and we're in May, and we're past Easter, and we're waiting, we're watching everything, and just how it's all going, and we're wondering that we remember this, that it's not by my might. I'm not going by Jay LaRue's strength. That died off when I got to be 40. I'm certainly not going to live on that. But there is a strength that he's bringing into us by his spirit. Here's what he says to him: "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Speak unto Zerubbabel," he says. "See this mountain? It shall be made a plain." What was the mountain standing for Zerubbabel? The impossibleness of the job, the impossibleness of fulfilling it, the pressure from the outside, what everybody was doing. Was he dreaming? Was this just some idea? Was this a reality? Everything that any one of us would think about when we've been dreaming something, desiring to see God fulfill his will, whether in our personal life, our family's life, the church, our nation, our world. He says, "You tell him, this mountain, it'll be made a plain. For he shall bring forth the capstone, crying," say for me, Linda, Please, are you okay? You with me? The capstone is the finished product of a building. You know Jesus is cornerstone and headstone, same word. So what he's saying is, here's just the floor. I mean, it's the floor. There's not enough money. There's pressure. Even the people are just starting to get aroused. And what he's saying is to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, you know this. I'm saying it to you and I. It's not going to be by our might. Don't expect it to be our might, though it's going to take some. It's not by our power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Whatever mountain stands before us, he will make it a plain. And we will finish what he gave us to do. We will see the capstone set on what God has ordained us to do. Nothing will stop it. The same chapter, he continues. He said, the people will rejoice. This is part of the word to you. It's to Zerubbabel, but it's to the pastoral team. It's to us. He said, they will see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know what this was for this day and time? We don't use much of this. It was the plumb line. They shall see the plummet, and the people shall know that what Zerubbabel started, he will finish. He goes on to say this. You remember this? Many people quote this. Do not despise the day of small things. Boy, I need to hear that. Especially when the small thing's been small for 16 years. That's how long his waiting was. 16 years. You have to look like this a little bit or have gray hair, which I would have if I didn't shave it off. So no, I hate that. I hate the waiting. So difficult. So small. So unnoticed. So unimportant. But he made it clear to Zerubbabel. He said, they shall see Zerubbabel with the capstone. It's Joshua that sets the cornerstone. It's Zerubbabel that does it. So what am I saying to us? I'm just going to close it. Will we face opposition? Sure. Will there be enough resources? Maybe not. But one thing is certain, though. The fifth chapter, verse 1 of Ezra says this. And the heart of Zerubbabel was stirred, and Joshua, and they began to build the house. What changed? Them. They changed. What changed them? The word of the Lord from the prophet Haggai, and the vision and the word of the Lord from Zechariah. And it says, and they built the house of the Lord with the prophets of God helping them. Even when the enemy tried to refute it, the king of the world turned against the enemy. I want you to know God is doing a far greater thing than we could ever realize. And our word to every mountain we face is grace, grace to it. It's the highest order of grace. There's grace, great grace, and then there's grace, grace. It's the number 15. It's the sovereign movement of God against the things that stand against us. Sometimes I say grace, grace to those mountains that are in front of me. Sometimes I just look at them, just give them one of those smiles. But I know this. This day, the Lord is establishing the plumb line back to cornerstone that it attempted to wean out for many reasons, reestablishing the house that will be built, reestablishing the builders once again, reestablishing the heart of Zerubbabel that no matter what we face, no matter what comes before us, no matter what is said, no matter what opposition we face, we know this. It isn't by might, it isn't by power, but it is by his spirit. And his spirit upon us and in us is without limitation. That's it. I'm done. That part. We good? So just like Habakkuk, when he set his watch, you and I talked about it over lunch, but this is the word of the Lord. The Lord is moving you to a place, much like he did with Habakkuk. He's allowed you to see what a beautiful thing and what a disadvantage it is at times too. He's allowed you to see, and he's marked your heart since you are a young man. You go back to 10 years old, and he marked your heart as a man that would be his in the earth with a heart for his people and a heart for his world. He marked you then. But he also put within you a spirit, as I said to you. It's in your eyes. You may not do what I do, but the prophetic sense and the prophetic vision has always been there. And so the Lord is going to cause you to come to a place, much like Habakkuk, you will set your watch. He's building even now a tower. It doesn't mean man structure like this, but it is a place of vision in him, through him, and according to him is where he is setting you, that you might behold the very thing he is going to do. Even as Habakkuk, though he stood against many, many things, it was the vision of God that turned him. It was the vision of God that caused even the people of God to move in a way that they did not think possible. And the Lord in this place will strengthen you in a way that you've never known. You would say, it just seems as though I'm getting weaker. I'm watching my kids grow and get stronger, and I'm just getting weaker as the day goes by, it seems. I gotta shoot from the outside now because I can't get down in there anymore. That's just me, but I know it's true. But this word becomes absolutely not just for the church, not just for the movement of this church, not for the next, it's speaking to the next decade at least. But it is, comes to you, though, to strengthen you, because the Lord is fastening your hand once again with the plumb line. And you will never have to lay the cornerstone. You will never have to lay a foundation again. You will not. But the Lord's ordained that you build. That is what he's causing you to come to this place of Habakkuk, that you'll be assured this is the direction. You'll be sure that this is the building, though you're a man of great grace and a man of great mercy and of tender-hearted and of compassion. And you would never drive people like Pharaoh, but you will lead people like Moses did. But the Lord will cause you to be assured as he brings you to the mountain, as he causes you to behold him, that you'll be certain that what he has said, he will do it. And he'll cause your hands to be shaking. Even between the two of you, you're going to watch. It's funny. This is a funny thing. As you get closer to empty nesting, what's happening is the Lord is moving in. As one goes, he's moving in. And you're going to see, as you watch the kid children number away, you will see the Lord move into your home in dimensions you have never known before. And there'll be a linking together, the two of you, and the day will come when the final one steps out. You'll look and, well, you're going to do two things. You're going to cry and you're going to think, let's change the rooms a little bit here. Yeah. The commercials aren't wrong in that respect. At all. You can't come home. There's no bed no more. But anyways, well, we put all the beds in the basement. You guys can come in the backside and come down there. I'm just teasing you again. Just teasing. But you will see, even between the two of you, the Lord will move into a dimension and there will be a new coupling, a new linking. Even the mantle that lays upon you, it's stretched upon those who are here. All those who are serving under you, the mantle has, the Lord's widened it, laid it upon all of them, and given them much liberty to be who they are. But he's going to cause her to come under it in ways never known before, alongside it. As I look at her, it's already growing. The Lord is preparing her shoulders and prepared her neck to be a part of the advancement of the Lord. Even some of your own family members are going to return to walk with you in the later years. Watch and see how true that'll be. But my brother, you have to know that the Lord, he will not leave you weak. He will not leave you blind nor deaf. He will not allow it to happen, but he will continue to strengthen you deep within your spirit. And he will cause, as your age goes and your own strength diminishes, he will cause your spiritual height and dimension. It's true. Matthew was right. Jesus said it. No man can add to his stature. Only God can do that. And so you'll watch as he does it. Continue to reach. Let nothing stop you from reaching. Reach. He will cause the reaching arms to be strengthened, lengthened. He will cause there to be ability where it doesn't have to be Moses and having to have arms held up because he's too weak. He'll never be like that. But continue to reach. Continue to reach, because the Lord is with you. Even as he extends his arm, it's going to be covered in blue with gold trim and with silver through the hand and with red at the bottom. All those are amazing. I'm not going to deal with them, but they're all colors you know of the kingdom. Very key colors, very important to the outreach and all that it means and the involvement of God and the color scheme of it all, especially the silver in regards to the redemption factor. But this is a great day. This is a day of celebration for the King. The kingdom of our God is being greatly established here and now. Sometimes the most frustrating thing is delay. It's so difficult. The children of Israel see the 10 plagues, the Red Sea open up, clouds by day. They get to Mount Sinai 40 days after all that. It's 40 days, probably 50 days at the most, maybe 60. And already they're. Aaron, where's Moses? I don't know. He'll be right down. Oh, I don't know. We got to do something. It's incredible. The New Testament will look at that generation and say they were hard-hearted and rebellious. But I relate. Because one of the most difficult things in the economy of God and in his way is when he delays. It's so difficult. But I want you to know, my brother, the Lord will fulfill every word. The delay brought out several things. It caused Moses to behold the Lord, and it caused the people to know really where their passions were. And every delay in our life, not every man faces delay. But delay will prove us. The delay will show us. It isn't that we're bad or evil. I'm not saying any of that. But the Lord did a work in both the people, Aaron and Moses, during that time. And the Lord is having his way with you. You're a man who loves the word. You do. And you love the sword sharp. And you like that. But the Lord is causing the sword to become a sickle. Not that it would pierce somebody, but that it would bring somebody in and toward him. And you don't realize this, though, but the Lord, though sometimes you try the pastor's garment on, you go, oh, this is too, I don't like this, I'm uncomfortable with this. Try the teacher's robe, well, I like this too, but it's not, doesn't have a flexibility. You like the prophetic side of things? I know that's what we were talking about the other day. You love that. It's in you. It's in your eyes. It's in your face. It's in your heart. But the Lord has brought you this way. And I love it. He's allowed frustration to take its place and take its time over the time period of your life. But he is absolutely in love with you. He absolutely knew the man that he took. He knew the man that he got. And he knows him more intimately than the man knows himself. And so the Lord is making you aware the delay will not be forever. But do nothing until he arrives. It doesn't mean we don't study. It doesn't mean but don't lay the frustrations, lay everything, lay it all back down. You know the reason Moses was up there, especially when he got there the second time, because the Lord created this cry in him. I want to behold your glory. I want to see you. He becomes the only man in a whole generation that knows the way of God. Oh, there's many in here, but it is so critical that you know the way and the heartbeat of God. And my brother, the Lord will cause his word to be illuminated in your spirit. He will use you to be a man who doesn't pierce, though it would be nice to have this sharp sword. You've grown up under a heavy hand, not his or Wayne's, but you've always known a heavy hand in your life. Well, the Lord is making your hand tender and making your words like salt, not just salted, but salt. And so everybody who's thirsty will come around you. And when I hear you and I'm around you, I get thirsty. Thirstier than I was. It's being with you has quenched a portion of my thirst, but it's made me thirsty. It's why the Lord's called you. It's what he's called you to do. So be patient with the process. Be patient with the time. Will there be failures? Oh, yeah. I wish I could tell you. I've had none of them. But the truth is I've had more like Abraham, more failures than the positives. But the beautiful thing about our God, though, is as he did with Abraham, he turns a failure into a blessing. Nothing can separate me from him. Nothing. And so this is just the beginning of the Lord's intention. His intention is that your latter years be fruitful than any years you've ever known. So don't count to watch the decade at a glance. Watch and think about how old I'm getting. What should I do? And when I retire, should I move? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I go to Bible college? I don't know what to do. And, you know, I love this one. I'm asking those questions just with that kind of speed like you would. The Lord, this is his answer. And I'm down here going, yeah, forget it. It's a good work the Lord is doing. Beautiful. My brother and sister, man, you're awesome. I don't know if we've met, but this is you're a great couple. Incredible. You've really been brought here. So if you're not over one of these groups, you need to start one or be in one or whatever, you know, you really do. These are run by him, but you are absolute must. People must be around you both. People have to hear what you have to say. And you're a team, though. So even though he's got the vocals and he loves to speak and all this, though, it's very important that they hear from you. It's very important that you share. It's very important you be who you are, because you're a woman who's been through many, many things. Many difficult things from back to, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, those early years in your family, those were difficult years. You've not been one who just kind of walks through life. No one knows. He knows some, but most people have no idea what you've been through. And that's important because the Lord's healed you. Sure, there's places you're still yet intimidated. There's still places you don't want to talk about, but God has healed those. You're just kind of walking out of the womb of some of these things. You really are. He's just bringing you out of the womb, and so you still feel very sensitive and uncertain, like an infant would be. But young lady, I want you to know, man, the Lord, so if I could explain to you, his emotions are almost impossible for me to, I'd have to get up jumping on your lap and everything, and that's not really good for you because I'm a guy, and you know, it's, my wife's over there, and I don't want to do that anyways. But that's really about the only way I can explain how stoked he is, how passionate he is about his girl, his daughter, how she's allowed him to touch her heart, to touch her womb, to touch areas of her life, even her mind, even her memories, allow him to touch it, just to bring you fully healed because he wants to offer you to people who come into your life as a treasured vessel, a diadem of what he's able to do. So stay faithful. Listen, I know the call of God is there, but don't run away. Don't go somewhere else. Don't go start something else. If the church wants to plant another church or 10 years down the road, plant the church and you're a part of that, that's fine. Do not be moved away by work, money, or pressure, or you don't think you're being overlooked. Don't do any of that. Don't move. Even if you feel like Zerubbabel, you'll remember this word. Even if you feel like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's going the way I thought. Go back to the mountain. Go back to the mountain. Don't become a man who lives in the valley. We were made for valley living. Valley living is experience living. We got to walk through the valley, whatever's in the valley, but we're born for the mountain, Mount Zion. We're born to live with him and behold him. That's the destiny. The Lord will touch your family. You don't lose hope. Watch what he will do in your family just because of you. He's not angry with them. I think he should, but he's not. What he's going to do is what he always does. Okay, we want payback? Fine. I'll go get him. That's payback to the enemy and everyone else who uses them. You all right? Just clap a little bit just so I know that you're good. Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Man, I couldn't help but the other night, you know, so anyways, listen, this is a beautiful thing, and I know he said something, I think it was to him, it doesn't matter, but my brother, it's incredible, the Mordecai word is so, so vital, and I love this to you. You know, it's easy to be faithful when I'm 4 feet from the finish line. That's easy, but when I haven't even made the turn to the finish line, that's another place to be faithful. When I can't even see the end and I can't see the beginning, that's a whole nother thing to be faithful. But I want you to know, my brother, that's the very thing the Lord's always looking for, is faithfulness, a faithful man. That's really the Habakkuk cries, though. A man must live by his faithfulness in this day and time. But that's a hard thing. Who could find such a thing? That's the question. I want you to know, my brother, I found one. And I'm certainly mean the Lord. Even though it's worn you out, It's just this physically, emotionally, has almost zapped it out of you. It's just almost like an Achilles heel. Just everything just throws out. It just seems as though I so relate to Zerubbabel. Even though he was a young man, this kind of waiting, this kind of hoping against hope is debilitating to a man. It's exhausting. It's heart-wrenching. It's just that way. It's just what it does. And the only hope are two things. One is, I know the mountain is available to me, but sometimes the mountain's almost impossible to get to. Sometimes it just seems even to find the Lord is almost difficult in some cases. But this is the other thing. He will reward faithfulness. He controls the when, the where, the how, and the who. But there is no question about it. He comes with his reward in his hand. And my brother, it's not that far off. Even though it seems like I don't know when this will end and when it'll begin. I just don't know where the crossroad is. I don't know when the justification will come. But I want you to know, though, the Lord, he's coming. He's not that far off. I won't give you a date and time because you can't live by the date and the time. You must live by your faithfulness. You have. That's why I'm encouraging you there. But the Lord himself will come and he will work redemption. Listen, I just got to say it youthful-like. He'll work redemption, yo, in ways no one will believe. Just got to have the yo-yo in there, man. It's just too good. Yeah. My sister here. I got to get off this first row, though, because I got to keep moving. Oh, I'm doing great. No, I'm not. I'm doing terrible. I just saw the clock. I got to keep moving. It was just this front row. Sorry. I wasn't expecting this, really. But the Lord has really turned your heart. It's amazing the level of redemption the Lord has done with you, my sister. It's just a beautiful thing. He began redeeming your mind first just so that you could be stable in your thinking, stable in your thought process. It even makes you see things differently. But he's come to fully restore your heart. From your heart, he's going to move to your home, and you're going to see the Lord do things that are just absolutely impossible. You need, I just want to encourage you, careful, I always say this, hold on to the Lord. Don't look for anyone to make a change. Don't look for anything to change. Hold on to him. He has this way when he stands up in his holy habitation, all the earth becomes silent. He has a way of opening up his treasure chest and releasing a wind that no one will stop. It was an east wind that blew that Red Sea open. It didn't look like there was any way of escape. There's Egyptians here, Red Sea here, the people of God are like, we don't know what we're doing. He makes it clear, stand still, yo. See the salvation of your God. They didn't know what to do. I'm sure they fell asleep nervous. But God was working out a deliverance that nobody thought or saw possible. And girl, he's working the same thing out for you and for your family. You'll watch and see. This is where you belong. You belong here serving amongst these people. You are given to the generation across from you, women, single mothers especially. Those are all things that go through him, though, but the Lord wants to release you to the broken young women especially, who have had difficulty with fathers, especially with fathers, given you to them to see healing come to their lives, because the Lord is building within you a strength and a hope and a healing power by word and by laying out of hands, that God will work deliverance through your life, all of your life. You'll always be young, girl. Keep coloring the hair. It's cool. You'll always have this young spirit, even when you get to 60, 70, you'll always have this young spirit, because he'll make sure that you're going to always work around young people. Beautiful. My young brother right here, I got to make this quick, some people I just can't stop by. You, dude, listen, when I saw you come in, I thought, that dude's a stud. I thought Travis was a stud. He's getting old, man. He's losing it. Yeah, he's not. You're like the new kid on the block, baby. I mean, you got it together. The Lord has really pulled you out of your generation, even out of your own family, to begin a work that your family's never seen and your generation has not known before. Dude, you could be a fireman because you got this way about you. You could be a police officer. You could do whatever you want. There's a wide open space to what you want to do as a professional, but you'll always be given to people. That's why I mentioned those two. They're in this room. There's a lot of them here. Always. Your life is going to be given to the salvation, the saving of people physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so the Lord's brought you here. I don't know how close you are to that guy over there or to that kid right there. You see that guy right there? That really good looking one. He used to be one of the studs too. He used to be. Right. Now his wife surpassed him. Yes. So he's kind of falling behind a little, but it's all good. You didn't take many notes here, but I can give them to you later. Anyway. That's okay. I'll give them to you later. Yeah. All right. Well, Jason's got a bunch. He'll share them with you afterwards. If those are mine, that might be his notes for tomorrow. I don't know. But this is where you belong, because you really have to be the one the Lord's called out. I didn't like it when the Lord came and took me. I like that he took me, but I began to not like it because I had a responsibility now. I had a conviction of who he was and who I was to be. But my brother could do what he wanted. My friend could do what they wanted. There were times I was not happy with that. I didn't really want my old life back, but I didn't like this responsibility. I felt like pressure. I had no idea what it was, but I realized it was an honor. It took me a while, a couple of years, to realize what an honor it was for the Lord to take me out of my family, out of my generation, out of my relationships, because he wanted to do something and release me back to them. And so that's why he's done this thing. That's why the work continues. This isn't a, will you please come? This is the place the Lord has begun to ordain for you to walk with these people. That's why I pointed out Brandon and Pastor Sean, because you are a son of the house to be mentored in this house, to be raised in this house, become one of the young men who stand and see the rebuilding of the walls, the restoration of the gates, the restoring of the towers, to see the city of God once again be established in the earth and in the world, that he might be glorified. All these things may not mean a lot to you, but I'm telling you, my friend, it is absolutely why the Lord birthed you naturally and birthed you into his kingdom. He knew right away that this was going to be a young man like a Nehemiah who will stand in the day of adversity, in a day of trouble, no matter what it looks like around, but will not fear the day, the hour, will not fear the winds, will not fear the contrariness of the day either, but will stand sure knowing that God intends to fully fulfill what he has said he will accomplish. And you, my brother, he's brought here to be a part of it. I have to stop like in 2 minutes, right? We need to. Yeah, okay. All right, that's not fair, but we'll probably make it fair. Yeah, all right, yeah, let me just, one more. Oh, man, the one to you was really the key one. Yeah, it was. All right, let me keep looking. There's so many. You pick one for me. No. You want to come look with me? Okay. All right, let me just take a quick look. I already got that side over there. Oh, yeah. No, I want to do. Can I do two more? But he'll lecture me later. You know, he does that. Have you found that out? He'll start telling you later, you know, I appreciate everything you did, but, you know, we got a time schedule. Yeah, I'm going to do one more. A couple. I had two couples, but I'm going to let one couple go. I'll look for them tomorrow. So this is kind of the math. Really is. You are strategic for everything I've said today. They don't necessarily show the man who handles the money. They don't necessarily show in this time who's really, is it Zerubbabel's handling it? Someone, we don't know how this all changes. We know that these two prophets show up and their hearts are stirred. And for some reason, everything else is just wiped away. But I know there had to be other men standing there, that though there was a weaned time financially and though there was a struggle on the outside, it wasn't the best time to do this. And though it appeared that everybody should be home because, I mean, it's a troubling day and family and all these things, somebody had to stand there and say, you know what? We are able to do the thing the Lord has said. And my brother, you have to know this, that the Lord is moving upon your heart fresh. It doesn't mean he's standing you up above all the other men or above anyone else. It's not that. But there is a faith that he's built in you that you literally believe nothing is impossible with God. It isn't just a quote or on your refrigerator or somewhere just in your psyche. And there is a lot more wheat a lot more word within your system that just has been let, that's there. Even as you came and talked to me just a few minutes ago, you're a man of the scriptures. But this is what I like, though. Some men love the scriptures because they love to declare out of them. Some men love the scriptures because it's soothing. You love the scriptures because they are the absolute truth. And you have always been a man that settled on what was true, not fabricated, not reconsidered, not regurgitated, not by someone else's decision, but by the truth. And so the Lord has come to strengthen you that you would stand and believe that God is able to move it forward and that you would be a part of the men and a part of the generation that makes these decisions on where it'll go. But I'm telling you, my brother, the Lord has come to cause your heart to be elated, cause you to believe, even in that word where the prophets came and worked with them and stirred their hearts. I'm not saying I'm that, but I certainly have the word of the Lord, at least for you, that God's come to stir your heart, knowing that the prophetic word that's been spoken in this church over the years that it's been in this church, and this sure word of prophecy above even that, that God will do what he said. And these latter years of your life will be stronger in voice and in word, and even where you would measure things sometimes, you would say, yes, this is what the Lord says, but let us get this graph and this scale, and let's see what this is, and let us weigh out the money. You would just do this. You have this part of you, this duality, like every other man would. Well, there are natural circumstances, but this is the word of the Lord. Well, the Lord's going to take the natural circumstances and just move them aside and move them away out of your reach and allow you to have faith that moves mountains. I'm done.